This guy owns two or three islands just off the coast of Detroit. Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com columnist insider. He's standing by on the DraftKings guest line. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing good, Huger. I've got a question. I've said this to other people, too, before, okay? So I'm going to do it to you.
Okay.
You like your job, right?
Yeah, I love it.
So you'll do your job for what you're making now, correct? And you love it.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you do it for $970 million?
I'd have to take some.
Like
I eventually would do it again. With that money, the island would have a radio studio, the ability to do it. But I think there would just be some downtime where, you know, I am 59. I'm still in pretty good physical health, and I'd want to do everything around the world I've always wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
So I'll be back doing radio. I'd probably buy a bunch of radio stations, be the boss who opens up the door like Scarface and says, let me introduce you to my little friend. It's called The Finger. You're done, you're done, you're done. I'm not being a revenge tour. Yeah, all the radio stations I've been to, and I haven't been fired too often, but just where I had like idiot bosses, I'm buying them just so I could fire that guy.
Well, I'm glad you have a price. I really do. It's $970 million.
$730 million for the Powerball. $970 million for the Mega Millions. That would be like a billion. Could you imagine if they said, "Hey, you need to show up to the Michigan Lottery office, Mike O'Hara. You've won $970 million."
Yeah, I could imagine it. Yeah.
Wow. Man. So what, on his deal, what are the reports for Campbell on the 6 years? What do you get, $5-7 million a year?
I think it's probably starts lower than that. It gets higher. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if there aren't some opt-outs that are on both sides. That wouldn't surprise me at all. The six-year really surprised me. I thought it'd be more on the lines of 3 or 4 years, probably 4 years for a first-time head coach. I mean, a full-time head coach. I think he had enough experience as he wasn't a typical interim head coach. It wasn't 2 or 3 games. It was 12 games, but plus the bye weeks. Really, it was 13 weeks.
So, no surprise, this story leaked on Sunday or even before Sunday that when the Saints season was over, Campbell's going to be the guy. What are you hearing on what sold them on Dan Campbell over any other candidate to replace Patricia?
Everything I read about that, and I think we talked about this before, I remember him as a player here in Detroit. I don't remember a lot about him because he got hurt in the first game of his third and final year here. And he wasn't a huge presence on the team, but he was really a sharp, tough guy and just one of those great teammates that people gravitated to and had real leadership qualities. And I had no idea, the run-of-the-mill guys who come and go, no idea what their plans were after football. I was a little bit surprised that he was in coaching when his name started to surface. I knew he'd had that one stint down in Miami as an interim head coach, and I just never really thought about it after that. But I do remember him, what a tough, tough guy he was. He looked tough, too, but I mean a good guy, too, but he looked like he could wail the heck out of you if he felt like it.
We're hearing the possibility of Aaron Glenn as Lions defensive coordinator. We haven't heard a lot about the offensive side of the ball with Campbell. Are you hearing anything?
No, absolutely nothing. We're supposed to talk to him tomorrow, I think, at 11 o'clock, and I'd hope you get a private session with him, sometime, just to pick his brain a little bit, and then we'll see if that happens. But, I don't know. I don't know that Darrell Bevell is out of the running. I don't know that he's in either. Obviously, the fact that he didn't get the head job indicates something. I'm not exactly sure what, but... it's an interesting hire. I don't know if you know Rick Goslin. He's really one of the top NFL writers in the nation. He's been covering it for a long time. A good friend of mine. He's from this area, the Grosse Pointe area. Went to Michigan State, and he's absolutely thinks the Lions just hit it right on the head here with Campbell. He's like he said, he's a disciple of Bill Parcells, and he believes in accountability. And he said that will go a long ways with Matthew Stafford, who's the same way. So, when Rick says something, and he's been involved in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the seniors committees and all that stuff, When you get Rick's seal of approval, that says a lot for me.
Well, when you look at Holmes and you look at Campbell, their names weren't on a lot of other openings or lists, so the interviews really must have been strong considering you had that advisory committee led by Spillman and then everybody talking to the Fords and also Rod Wood. So the interviews done by Holmes and Campbell must have been top shelf.
That's one of the things that that Sheila Hamp said yesterday, and she's the principal owner, as you know, and chairman of the team. She said that I think that she and maybe Rod Wood might have brought it up to begin with, but Mike Dissner, who's he's one of the executive vice presidents of football administration, came across Holmes's an interview he had done. You know, the National Football League archives those, and so he saw that. He says, "Hey, we got to take a look at this guy." And right from the beginning, he just absolutely blew him away. They added him to the list. I guess you'd say he became number 12 or 12 because they had 12 and he wasn't on the list. So absolutely blew him away. And, you know, Rod Wood said through the first two or three minutes of the interview, he made a note to himself, this is the guy. Mike Dissner said that he had stopped taking notes. And Sheila Hamp was just absolutely, she just said two words, wow, wow. So obviously he was prepared. He had a resume, you know, to get noticed to begin with, and then took advantage of his opportunity to present himself. And so there's something to be said for that.
Mike, if Dan Campbell called you tonight and said, Mike, what do you think are the three things we need to do to better this franchise, things we can do short term through the start of the upcoming season, what do you think in order those three would be that you would tell Campbell?
Well, I'd start with personnel, and one would be shore up the defense. You cannot look. It's an offensive game now in the National Football League. It's almost like basketball. You know, they don't quite play defense the way they used to because you can't. The athletes are too good. But you got to at least be competitive, and they were not competitive defensively. And that was just absolutely shocking to me to watch that defense deteriorate over the last 2 years under Matt Patricia. I'm not saying it's his fault because the players have something to do with it too, but they were uncompetitive. They really were. It was shocking to watch. That would be the first thing. I like the accountability thing that Rick Goslin mentioned. You know, look, this team has been what it is for a reason. 6-10, you know, 3-11 or 3-12-1, and then this year, you know, 5-11 for a reason. And I don't think that, I wouldn't call them quitters or anything like that. I think, you know, players prepare hard and practice hard and all that, but just the game day output wasn't there huge at all. That would be one of them. And I don't know what the third one would be. I like to talk to him about some things and kind of pick his brain to find out what number three would be.
Yeah, I think you shore up the defense.
Absolutely,
the special teams and offense are fine. They really are. You have enough, and you have that 7 pick coming up, and I keep looking at these mock drafts now, which are changing daily and will happen daily until we get to the draft in April. And with no combine now, the mock drafts are even going to be even crazier for the next couple, 3 months. But, man, at number 7, there's going to be, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle. I doubt Devontae Smith would drop, Michael. There's going to be a quality wide receiver. And you just mentioned this league's about offense. So if they can shore up that defense and you got Stafford healthy and you add some weapons, I think they're competitive in every game and they're playing those meaningful games in December they've been looking for.
Yeah, you know, my first mock draft is coming out next week.
I told you, see, everybody's moved them all the way up now.
Well, when you said crazy, you know, this is my first one. It always comes out early. In fact, 5 years ago, just a little story, we hired, the Lions had hired Bob Quinn and Lindsey Miller, my boss. She asked me, said, hey, look, why don't you put out a mock draft for Monday? And so my lead was, the first one's on me, Bob Quinn. And that's sort of been our theme ever since for our late January, early February first mock draft. It's Mach 1 7.0. We go up to the Lions pick in the first round. I think the first one was Mach 21. This one is Mach 7 1.0. And I go through it, and There's some different things in this year's draft, and one of them is that there's three quarterbacks that have a chance to go in the top 10. Now that's not completely different, but the third one being the kid from Ohio State, which I don't consider him a top 10 quarterback, but I'm not the one who's playing him. But also, you've got 3-4 guys in the top 6 or 7 who deserve to be in the top 6 or 7 who are opt-outs, who didn't play in 2020. And I don't blame them for that. I probably, if I knew I was going to be a professional football player, I probably would have done the same thing too. But you're talking about, you know, guys who could be drafted 2nd overall, an offensive lineman, another one 5th overall, offensive lineman, wide receiver, Jamar Chase, the one you mentioned, yeah, from LSU. All of those guys are in the top 5, 6, 7, 8 players. In fact, you're splitting hairs with some of them. As good as Devonta Smith is, excuse me, out of Alabama, his size scares me. I mean, he's what, 5'11", 170 pounds. Why would you not take Jamar Chase at 6 feet, you know, 205, 206?
I agree.
Like, got the same production, really. I mean, he doesn't get as many opportunities, but he had scored 20 touchdowns, but he was an opt-out. So there's just there are different pieces in the puzzle this year, different pieces in the puzzle that I think teams have had to contend with. Does a player who didn't play hold form? Well, I think they do. I don't think you deteriorate from not playing if it's not because of injury. But it's very, very interesting. And really, there's one defensive player in the top 10, I think, and that's the linebacker from Penn State, Micah Parsons. But guess what? Another opt-out. So it's hard to project those guys.
Yeah, so no combine. Did I read that correct?
That
they're gonna find another way to probably just evaluate talent virtually or do some, you know, socially distant workouts or however they end up doing it, and then they'll just lead it up to the draft, which they were able to pull off last year when the pandemic was still young in America. So NFL has found a way to navigate through this. We're down to the final four teams this weekend, and then we'll get the big game in Tampa.
Well, I think one thing that they're going to, and I haven't read every little detail on it because we've been busy doing other stuff, but what I think they're going to do is have the pro teams run the pro day workouts for the players. And so, in other words, just say the University of Michigan's has its pro day on March 3rd or 4th or 5th or whatever. The Detroit Lions might run that pro day and do NFL-specific drills. And that's, you know, it's going to be only for, you know, University of Michigan players plus small college guys in the area who they might assign to that. So, you know, they won't get exactly the same work they got before. And I don't know how they're going to televise it on ESPN and the NFL Network and all of that. So it will be different. But the one thing about it is everybody's operating under the same rules, to which I say, you know, look, Ben, all men were created equal. The trick is to overcome it. And so find out a way to bend the rules and work them to your benefit if you can.
Yeah, we've found ways to make sports happen. And like, yep, I said, the NFL has 3 games left, and this season is complete, a season we didn't even know last summer if it would happen.
Well, look at the issues that they had in college. Now you're dealing with different people. These are adult men who have mortgages and kids and families and, you know, and whatever. And it's a little different than college. You're in a completely different environment. And, when you're playing for money, it certainly means an awful lot. And I think the National Football League and its players, let's give them the credit, have really done a good job of keeping the league going. And I think, like we've said before, I think it goes back to what Roger Goodell, the commissioner, said mid-March of a year ago. He said, we're going to have the draft on time. Be ready. Don't complain. Don't go to the media, or I'm going to fine anybody who I catch complaining. And it went off on time, and I thought it was terrific. I really did. I'd do it again the same way with the kids at home and no big, you know, hotel presence and all that. I thought it was really cool. I know they won't do it that way again, but I really liked it, and there's nothing to say they can't do it again this year.
You know, one thing after the NFC and AFC championship games this weekend,
yeah,
are they going to bubble the teams to keep the 2 Super Bowl entrants as far away from everything? Have you read or heard anything on what the protocol will be for the remaining 2 teams that will be playing in Tampa?
No, I haven't heard that. I really haven't. I haven't heard anything like that. I know they're going to, starting Monday, I think it is, the Senior Bowl players and workouts and all that are going to start. At least they're going to report on Monday down to Mobile, Alabama. The one thing about that is, excuse me, Hughes, is that the Senior Bowl runs the Senior Bowl. The National Football League doesn't. Although they've got a heavy presence, don't get me wrong, all the scouts and front office people are down there, but the Senior Bowl is going to go off as planned, and so that is one. Now it's not. There are no juniors, I don't think. I think they really are. It's just for seniors and fifth-year players. But at least that's at least the start of the off-season evaluation process.
NFL had the money for testing and protocols, and they really hammered down early in the season when a lot of teams weren't following it, and they were able to keep it under control. So down to the final three games. Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, Lions NFL insider, joining us from Detroit on the DraftKings guest line, talking about Dan Campbell, the reported six-year deal. Mike will get a chance with the Lions media to talk to him tomorrow, and then Mike will await the one-on-one. He's at the top of the list for every one-on-one.
They want to get rid of me. Get me out of the way fast. Okay?
All right, Michael. Hey, appreciate the conversation, my friend.
All right, my man. Okay, take care of yourself.
Yeah, Mike O'Hara joining us.